Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Vox Royalty, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol VOX. And for everyone down in the US, you can find the company VOXCF. I am chatting with the Executive Vice President, Spencer Cole. And Spencer, let's follow up on news that came out just yesterday, May 4th, outlining Vox Royalty's revenue for Q1 2021. So quarter ended March of this year. The company announced revenue of $668,000. There was also a note of a new royalty contributing to this initial cash flow. That is the Kolya Nobbing royalty. Spencer, give us a little quick rundown here in terms of this revenue for the first 3 months and how it plays into the overall estimates for this year for Vox Royalty, please.
Absolutely, Corey, and great to be with you and your listeners here today. So as you mentioned yesterday, we announced our Q1 revenues, which were a record quarterly revenue for Vox. I think some of the key highlights from this announcement were that, you know, we've told investors for some time that Vox offers sort of exponential revenue growth to investors because we typically buy royalties that are pre-production, so within months or, you know, in some cases 1 year away from first production. So we analysts have been expecting us to start producing incrementally greater and greater revenues. And so where we stand today with these Q1 results, you know, we expect strong revenue growth from here. This revenue result was really generated by three key royalties, the Kolya Nobbing iron ore royalty in Western Australia, the Higginsville gold royalty also in Western Australia, and the Browner diamond royalty in Brazil. As you touched on, Corey, the Kolya Nobbing iron ore royalty, this is the first cash flow we've received from this royalty because we recently settled a historical prepayment that was dragging on cash flow there. So, you know, we opportunistically brought forward this revenue and, you know, we're looking forward to having, you know, further strong revenue growth from that asset over the remainder of this year.
Now, Spencer, one thing that the news release notes here is that in May 2020, the company had one producing royalty. By the end of this year, you're expecting seven, and you currently stand at four, even though you outlined that most of this royalty came from three different royalties. Can you break down with us some of the new royalties that are going to be coming online, please?
Absolutely. So, as I said, we went public only with one royal producing royalty asset. We now have four. Those four assets are Kolya Nobbing, Higginsville, and Browner, as I mentioned before. We've also recently added in the last month a fourth producing royalty asset. That's the Janet Ivy gold asset in Western Australia that the operators are actively expanding production on, linked to a heap leach project. So that's our fourth producing asset. We also have another key royalty coming into production next month. That's the Segilola gold mine in Nigeria that Thor Explorations are in the final stages of construction on. So that's going to be a key revenue generator for us in the next couple of years. Also in Q4 of this year, we're excited that we'll have another gold royalty asset that'll be coming into production. That's the Bulong gold mine just outside of Kalgoorlie in Western Australia, the Black Cat Syndicate are advancing. In addition to that, we have another base metal mine in Queensland called Mount Moss that the operator has recently said they're going to be bringing back into production at some point in you know this half. Conservatively, we think that might generate revenue towards the back half of this year. But that one could surprise on the upside. And then we have another asset, which is an exciting vanadium discovery in Brazil called Pitombeiras. And the operator has just provided guidance that they're fast-tracking that project into production as early as Q1 next year. So a huge amount of exciting catalysts and news flow over the coming months linked to all those projects coming into production.
So with all these new projects coming into production, investors obviously are going to think that revenue is going to continue to increase. Are any of these royalties capped, or do they have any significant terms that anyone should be aware of in terms of future revenue, maybe limitations?
Yeah, so of our portfolio of 50 royalties, I think we have maybe three or four royalties that are capped. We typically don't try not to acquire royalties with caps, but you know, ultimately as management, we're focused on maximizing returns for our shareholders. So we will occasionally buy a capped royalty where we can generate a significant IRR or return on equity for our investors. So for example, the Segilola royalty, unfortunately that is capped, but you know, we paid $900,000 for that royalty. And in the next 2 years, we expect to generate, you know, approximately, it has potential to generate about $4 million. So from a rate of return perspective, despite being capped, it should offer, you know, a fantastic rate of return for our investors. So, but across our portfolio, we only have a few royalties that are capped, Corey.
Okay. One other thing that I want you to address here, Spencer, is the fact that the company within its 50 royalties, they're not all in precious metals. You've already mentioned a couple of royalties that are paying right now from assets or resources outside of precious metals. What's the environment been like right now as these other metals outside of precious metals have just been running higher? Is that impacting any of your guys' revenue forecasts because these mines, assuming, will be more profitable with these higher prices?
Yeah, it's a great question, Corey. You know, I should say from up front that, you know, our portfolio is 70% weighted towards precious metals, and it always will be overweight towards precious metals. So just to make that clear for investors. But the other 30% in our portfolio, as you've touched on, really is quite broad across, you know, the base metal and battery metal complex. So, you know, for example, about 10% of that other 30%. Non-precious metals is in copper specifically. And so, you know, with copper prices at near record highs, you know, we're seeing a huge amount of dollars being spent on our copper and our zinc royalty properties. So, you know, we're seeing projects that are in the development stage being more aggressively funded towards production, which is really exciting. And then, you know, I think we've got quite a bit of price upside linked to you know, a few other commodities that have really had, you know, been rebounding strongly post COVID. So, for example, our Brauner diamond royalty in Brazil, which is the largest diamond mine in South America, that's, you know, during COVID we saw those diamond prices drop from sort of $200 a carat down towards sort of $150 a carat. We're now seeing diamond prices rebound up towards, you know, $170, $180 a carat. So, you know, that's really positive, I guess, to see that, you know, particularly across the commodity spectrum, you know, we've got really strong exposure and leverage to commodity price upside.
Yeah, it's nice to see companies funded in the resource space and also progressing with mine builds and project advancement. Spencer, just a quick update from you then, please. Give us a little background of yourself, your history in the resource sector.
Yeah, sure, Corey. So I've been in the mining industry for the better part of, you know, just over a decade, about 11 years. My background is as both a mining engineer and a former sort of banker. So I spent, you know, a number of years with various mining companies from BHP Billiton to South32. And then I had a stint in investment banking with UBS. And about 6 years ago, I co-founded a business called Mineral Royalties Online with one of my colleagues, Rian Esterhuizen. And what we developed at Mineral Royalties Online was we built what we believe is the world's largest proprietary royalty database from first principles. So, and about 3 years ago, in about 2018, we started chatting with the team at Vox, and you know, we saw an alignment in terms of how we saw the royalty industry evolving and how the Vox team saw the industry evolving, and you know, in 2019, we basically agreed to vend in mineral royalties online into Vox Royalty. And so basically, you know, take that proprietary royalty database that we'd built, which, you know, is now approaching over 8,000 unique mining royalties. And so we basically vended that intellectual property into Vox, and Rhiannon and I joined the management team of Vox. And so, yeah, that's a little bit about my background. I'm a little bit of a mining nerd and pretty obsessive about mining royalties. So my fiance has to try and get me away from looking at royalties on the weekends, which is a little bit embarrassing to admit, but it's a passion of mine.
Well, that's good to hear. And also a very nice background that you have in terms of, especially in the royalty space. Let's wrap it up here with what I think all investors care about when it comes to royalty companies, and that is portfolio growth. Obviously, investors care about cash flow, but portfolio growth is where the news flow is going to come from any royalty company. The company just last year went from 10 to 50 royalties. What are some of the plans for this year?
Sure, Corey. So investors can look forward to just a monumental amount of growth by buying Vox. So, and growth in two key areas, acquisition growth, and then also organic growth within our 50 royalty portfolio. On the acquisition growth, you already touched on this last year. You know, we really led the industry in terms of acquisition growth. So we expanded the portfolio fivefold. This year, you know, we're continuing to print more acquisitions. So we have a number of deals we've got under binding letters of intent. So we're just looking to progress those through confirmatory due diligence. So investors can expect us to be announcing, you know, a number of new and exciting acquisitions over accretive royalty opportunities over the coming months. And then on the organic growth side, you know, as we've already touched on, you know, investors can expect us to have exponential growth in the number of producing royalty assets, cash flow growth, and then, you know, even just in terms of our exploration stage royalties, across our exploration royalties, each month we're just gifted with a huge amount of organic news flow from our operating partners. So this year alone, we should have in excess of 120,000 meters of drilling from our operating partners that we get for free.
Okay, Spencer, I appreciate the update. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Spencer or the rest of the team at Vox Royalty, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. We'll follow up as some more news hits the market, but if anybody also wants some more information on any of the company's royalties, we're happy to dive into those as well. Spencer, thank you for the update. We'll chat again soon.
Fantastic. Thanks for your time, Corey.